turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. We're going to try to get the PowerPoint up, and if it doesn't, it doesn't. If it does, it does. It's all good. But 1 Kings chapter 19, hope you were listening to the words of that song. It mentioned the word come, and we're going to talk about that word today. The word come is a command, right? When a parent tells a kid, hey, come here, come here, right? That's a command. And so we want to look at when God calls, what should we do? And so I've titled this message, When God Calls, Grab Some Matches. Grab some matches. And that might sound a little odd. Hopefully it'll make sense here at the end of the story. 1 Kings chapter 19. Let's ask the Lord to help us as we open up His Word, because we want to hear what the Lord has to say today to us. Lord, speak to us now as we come, and we thank You for each one that's here today. Lord, we're here. We've come to hear a message from You. And Lord, we're here for a reason. This is not just some odd thing, and we're here by chance, but we're here by design. We're here. So Lord, help us to listen to Your Word today and to understand what it says and to act on it. In Jesus' name, amen. Last time I was here, we looked at what does the Bible say about Iran? And we tried to think about the end times, that God has a plan. He's talked about Iran in the Bible. You'll never find the word Iran. It's Persia. But He's talked about Iran. Now, we don't know when Jesus is going to come again. We know He will. And so what we want to do is we want to, in the meantime, while we wait expectantly because He is coming, what do we do in the meantime, right? That's what we want to look at today. And we want to hear now is that when God calls, one of the things we should do is grab some matches. Grab some matches. You're wondering, what in the world? 1 Kings chapter 19 is our introduction to Elisha. And we want to look to start off with who is a command that God is going to give to Elijah. Now, those two names kind of get confusing. At times, Elijah is the first prophet of God that we're going to consider here today, but he's going to pass the mantle, shall we say. He's going to have a successor in Elisha. And so we're going to see the end of one guy's ministry and the beginning of another man's ministry, serving God. And you know, there's a verse in the book of Acts in the New Testament that says this. It says, when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. Let me say it again. When David had served God's purpose in his own generation, then he died. You see, God has a purpose for us. Some of us are older. Some of us are a little younger. But God wants us to serve Him in our own generation. And so today we're going to see the ending of one service, generation, and the beginning of another one. Let's look at chapter 19 of 1 Kings, and let's look at verse 15. God is speaking to Elijah, this old servant of His. He was a prophet. Now, prophets, before we look at the verse, prophets would hear from God. What's that you want me to say to him, God? I got to tell him that? Okay. And so prophets would hear from God, and then they would speak to the people. You see, priests are different. Priests would listen to people, and then they would talk to God. So that's the difference between a priest and a prophet. Priests listen to people and did do a sacrifice to God. Prophets would listen to God and tell the people. So Elijah is a prophet. Look at what it says in verse 15. The Lord said to him, Elijah, go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. And when you get there, I want you to do a couple things. I want you to anoint this man, Hazael, the king over Aram. All right, he's not important for our story. Second thing I want you to do. Also, I want you to anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, the king over Israel. We're not worried about him. But here it comes. The third thing I want you to do is to anoint Elisha, the son of Shaphat, from Abel-Mahalah, to succeed you as prophet. Elijah, in other words, God is saying, your time is up. You're done. Thank you for serving me as prophet. You've served your generation well. And now it's time to anoint your successor who will then serve his generation. So we have this passing of the torch. God works in each generation, and each generation has their own mission. Older believers are to pass the torch to the younger generation. Now, the thing about it, though, as you'll see in Elijah's life, we can retire from our work, but there's really no spiritual retirement. You serve until you die as a Christian. I'm not retired yet as an employee. I'm still working. I'm looking forward to one day retiring from my job. But that'll be when I'm done working as a school teacher. That's what I do. I'll be done with teaching. But I will not be done living for the Lord. You don't stop. There's no spiritual retirement. You serve until you die. And many times, older people, they may think, well, I'm too old. No, you might not could run a 100-yard dash anymore. Okay, yeah, you're too old for that, maybe. But you're not too old to serve. And as Tom was saying, we got a great opportunity with VBS coming up. And we need everybody. We need everybody to join in. That means you. We need you. And the Lord uses us, right? The Lord, he's gifted us. And we're to serve him until we die. But having said that, older generations also need to be thinking about, well, you know what? I'm not going to be here forever. And it's time for me to mentor somebody. To start pouring into somebody else. We need to pass on our responsibilities. The Bible tells us to make disciples, teaching them. Right? This is found in Matthew 28. We're to be mentors. It would be sad if when we die, we haven't passed on anything to the next generation. How are they going to serve properly if they've never been taught? We need to teach them. Right? We do that with our children. You teach them. Older Christians need to tap into the younger generation. Need to teach them. And so it was time for Elijah to pass the torch. You don't want to hold on to your service position if it's time to give it up. If God's calling you to pass it on, Don't hold on to it. This is mine. I'll never give it up. Now, wait a minute. You keep serving until you die. But it might be time for you to train somebody else to take your job, take your spot. You keep serving till the day you die, yes. But part of your service might be to train the next generation. And younger believers, they need to grab the torch. Sometimes younger Christians will say, well, no, he's been doing it many years. I'll let them handle it. Well, I understand what that person is saying, but at the same time, it's time to step up to the plate. It's time to be ready for your turn. You got to take over the responsibilities. The older people are going to leave at some point. You need to jump in. And oftentimes those two work so well together. You have a mentor who's got the experience. And then you got the new kid. And he's got the enthusiasm. Where the old person maybe doesn't have the excitement as much anymore. But the young, let's go do it. God can do great things. Let's go. You need both. You need the mentor. And you need the young person. They go together. And God uses all of us as we reach our generation. So are you an older person? Is there somebody you can mentor? Who has God placed in your life that you can train? Are you a younger Christian? All of you got your hands up on that one. Right? What does God want you to do? Find something here at Grove Park that you can tap into. And I'm telling you, VBS is where we're at right now. What can I do? That's what we need to be. God's gifted you. What can you do? So God has now made a decision. Elijah, I want you to go mentor Elisha. I want you to pick him, choose him, anoint him. He is the one that I have chosen. Elijah is not making the decision. God is making the decision. I have chosen, and now I want you to go find him and anoint him to be the next prophet. He's going to succeed you. Well, Elijah has a command. Let's see what happens. Turn the page now. No, you don't. I was getting ready to turn my page. It's just a couple verses over, actually. Look at verse 19. Let's see what happens. Now, is Elijah going to obey God? Let's see. And then when he makes his decision to obey God, is Elisha going to obey? Let's see what both of these gentlemen do. Look at verse 19. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha. Okay, so Elijah's going to obey. He hears the command of God. I want you to go and anoint. Elijah obeys. He goes from there and he found Elisha, the son of Shaphat. And Elisha was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. And he himself was at the back driving the 12th pair. All right, so Elisha is busy. And Elijah just walks up to him and throws his cloak around him. Now that's interesting. Let's pause there. Elijah obeys God. God says, Elijah, this is what I want you to do. Elijah heard from God, and he did it. He obeys, and he goes and he finds Elisha. He doesn't hold on to his position. God, I'm the only prophet. Wait a minute now. This guy, he don't even know. He's just a rookie. This kid, he's just a kid. He don't know nothing. Let me do it. God, I'm going to serve you to the end, but I want to hold this position of prophet. No, he doesn't do that. God allowed him to be prophet for a while, and now it's time to pass the torch. And sometimes as older people, we have to recognize, got to listen to God. Listen to God. When does he want you to pass the torch? Are you going to do it? No, this is mine. This is mine. You can't have it. It's mine. No, wait a minute. What has God said? So you listen to God, then you obey. So he goes. Now, what's Elisha going to do? Well, when you find Elisha, if you look at him, look at what he's doing. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. And he was at the back. You know, he probably came from a lot of money. Either Elisha had a lot of money or his mom and dad had a lot of money. He's got 12 yoke of oxen. So he's got 24 cows, bulls, whatever they are, oxen, whatever. And, you know, he's not poor. Maybe the people in front of him in the 11th ox yoke, sorry, excuse me, the 10th yoke, the 9th yoke, maybe they were their servants. But he's got some land, evidently. He's got a bunch of animals. Evidently, Elisha came from a family of wealth. And Elijah comes up to him, doesn't say he says anything to him. He takes off his mantle and he throws it in obedience to God. In obedience to God, he throws his mantle. Basically, what he's saying is Elisha, you've been called. You've been called. Now remember, prophets are those who speak for God. That was their job. They would hear from God and they would speak what God had said. And they were recognized as being those who speak for God. And so when you would take off your mantle, it's basically saying, look, this is what I used to do for a living, or in this case, when I spoke for God as a prophet, and now I'm throwing it on you. It's your turn. You've been called. You've been called. And so Elijah throws his mantle. And you know, Elisha knew exactly what this meant. And if you look at verse 20, it says, this guy throws his mantle on him. And it says, Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. So Elijah just walks off, so to speak. And Elijah throws his coat on him. In other words, hey, you've been called. And he just starts walking off. And so Elisha says, whoa, 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 verse 20. He leaves his oxen and he runs after Elijah. Hey, wait a minute. Hey, come here. Elisha knew exactly what was happening. It's almost like Elisha had been prepared for this very moment. This wasn't just some random thing, right? It's kind of like when you go to the New Testament and Jesus comes to Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth, you know, and says, hey, Matthew, come here and follow me. And Matthew just gets up, leaves all his money, and walks off. Well, it's not because Jesus has this, you to follow me. And all of a sudden these people just, I will follow you. That's not what's going on. But when Jesus says, come follow me, they had already heard about Jesus, evidently. They had heard about him talking. They may have even heard him speak. And so when Jesus says, hey, come here, follow me, they were ready for that moment. And so it was like Elisha had been ready. And he understood what this meant. And so he runs after Elijah and says, hey, let me kiss my father and my mother goodbye. And then I will come after you. So he leaves his animals, very strange. He's very wealthy. He decides very quickly that he's in on this. He runs very quickly to Elijah and basically says, look, I'm in. But hold on, I need to say goodbye to my mom and dad. Now, first off, that might seem like he's not sure. And that's, you could maybe read that into that. I get it. Or it could mean, hey, I'm ready. But I love my mama and daddy, and I'm going to say goodbye to them. And as you're going to see, I'm going to grab some matches, and then I'm all in. You know, God wants us to honor our parents. And this was a way for Elisha to honor his parents. Hey, mom and dad, I'm leaving. I just want you to know where I'm at. I've been called. I've been called. And I'm going to answer the call. I'm going to go serve God. I just want you to know where I'm at. And so he doesn't dilly-dally. He understood what the call was. And he was ready to make it. So what does this have to do with us? As we're not done. We got to finish our story here. But let's just talk about the calls of God just for a second. How does God call us? Well, God speaks to us. We don't have, Elisha's walking around and Elijah's walking around anymore. Now, God can do anything. And some people, we could get into the spiritual gifts, and God's given the gift of prophecy, and we can definitely, there may be some different opinions on this. But generally speaking, okay, let me just keep it simple. God speaks to us through His Word. God speaks to us through His Word. Again, we can talk about the gifts of the Spirit on another day. That's for another conversation. The gift of prophecy. God speaks to us through His Word. That's how He speaks. And so when we read God's Word, we are hearing from God. We're hearing from God. Now, God can give guidance and clarity when we pray. God, I was reading this in Your Word, and I need some clarification. I need some clear guidance here. And God answers prayer. When we come to Him and we're looking for guidance, God answers our prayer and He gives guidance that way. Sometimes God will, when we read something, hey God, I'm a little unsure. Hey, I'm gonna go talk to a brother or, a fellow believer here that knows Your Word very well, and I'm gonna try to get some instruction from them. Lord, speak through them, and you go talk to a fellow Christian, and God uses us in each other's lives. Christian friends can give counsel, and then sometimes the circumstances also give clarity. God, it just seems like it's the right time. I'm looking around at the circumstances and You're kind of bringing things together. Are You clarifying Your Word through circumstances, God? And so sometimes God uses circumstances. But He speaks through His Word. What is He saying for us? Now, it's not going to tell us who to marry, for instance. It's not going to say, go marry Joe Bob. It ain't going to say that. But it does talk about the types of people to marry, right? Believers need to marry believers, right, etc. And so we look at God's Word and we ask Christians and look at circumstances and look to prayer, and God speaks. Very, very helpful to us as we go along our way. And the Holy Spirit gives guidance. He guides us into all truth. Well, what might God be telling us? All right, so that's how God speaks. He speaks to His Word. But what might God be saying to us here in the year 2026? Well, He might be telling us, hey, I want to get closer to You. My relationship with You is not as good as it used to be. Our relationship's not, we're not quite as close. You're not spending enough time with me. You don't read like you used to. I'm not able to talk to you, and you're definitely not been talking to me in prayer. Maybe that's what He's saying. He wants a closer relationship. Maybe He's telling us this. Hey, have you talked to anybody about me lately? Have you shared the good news of Jesus with anybody lately? What about that person? And He'll bring somebody to your attention. Maybe there's somebody we need to go talk to. The way you spend your time, your free time when you get home from work, or your retirement time. I think there's something else I want you to do. Your talents. You know what? I've gifted you in this area, and I want you to use it for me. And I think there's a great opportunity right now. I want you to get involved. Has God been speaking to you? Maybe he's calling some of us to a full-time ministry. Don't know what it would be. God might be calling you to a full-time. What about the money that's in our back pocket? Now, remember how that was worded. Money that's in your back pocket. Let's clarify. It's none of ours. None of it belongs to us. Let's say that one more time. The money that's in our accounts, none of it is ours. It's God's money. And we have to give an account one day with what we did with his money. We got to give an account. And maybe God is saying, hey, that's my money, and I want you to put it over here. No, God, that's my money. No. God will take care of us. It's his money. I'll let you listen to the Lord. I'm not telling you what he's telling you, but I do know it's all his money. All the money I got in my pocket is all his. So maybe God wants us to do something with it. Well, why is it important that we obey? Well, because God has, he wants to fulfill his highest purposes in this world. God wants to see people get saved. God wants to see Christians encouraged. God wants to see Christians using their gift for him. God wants us to be fulfilled as well. God wants to see his highest purposes fulfilled in this life. And he wants to see us experience our greatest joys. You know when we'll experience our greatest joys? When we're living for him and doing what he wants us to do. That's when we'll experience our greatest fulfillment. Everything else just doesn't satisfy. You know what the greatest call from God is? The greatest call from God is that word we just sang about. It's the word come. And Jesus calls everybody to come to him. Come to the Savior. Jesus said this, come unto me, all ye who are laboring and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. He's calling us out of darkness and into his light. He's calling each of us. Again, I don't know you. I don't know you. I've seen your face. But I don't know your soul's condition. Maybe you've been here and you dress like a Christian. You sing like a Christian. You bow your head like a Christian. But you're not a Christian, maybe. I don't know. I don't know you. And Jesus is saying, come unto me. Don't play the church game. Don't play the church game. Come unto me and I'll give you rest. See your need as a Savior. I've died for your sin, Jesus says. Come unto me. That's the greatest call of God. And so, I just beg of you today to come to the Savior. But then we're to walk worthy of this calling. We need to live for the Lord. We're going to give an account one day. Well, let's see what Elisha does in our remaining time. Let's look at verse 21. Or 20, the last part. So Elisha comes running up. He says, hey, let me go talk to my mom and dad. And Elijah says, go back, man. Go ahead. What have I done to you? Now, that's an interesting way to talk. In fact, it's a little tricky, isn't it? What does Elijah mean? Go back. All right, I get that part. But the next phrase, what have I done to you? Well, perhaps it means this. Hey, man, go ahead. Go ahead. But don't forget what's just happened to you. I've thrown my mantle on you. You've been called by God. Perhaps that's what it means. Don't forget what I've just done to you. You have been chosen by God to be the next successor. Perhaps that's what Elijah's meaning. Maybe he's saying, hey man, go ahead. Why are you talking to me? This was not my call. I didn't call you. I mean, I just threw the mantle. This is God's call, man. You got to deal with him. I'm walking off. He just told me to anoint you. So I threw my mantle on you. Hey, you got to deal with God, man. This is God's call. So Elisha's got a big decision. So he says, okay. Yeah. Okay, let me just quick go back to the house. And so he quick goes back to the house, and look at verse 21. So Elisha left him and went back. What did he do? He took his yoke of oxen and he killed them. He slaughtered them. Whoa. Then he burned the plowing equipment, so the yoke that went around their necks. He burnt the plowing equipment to cook the meat from those two oxen. And he gave the meat to the people and everybody ate. And then he went out to follow Elijah and become his attendant, his assistant, his servant. Elijah obeyed. Elijah obeyed. Elijah, I want you to go anoint Elisha. Yes, sir, God. He goes up, he throws his coat. Elisha knew exactly what that was talking about. And so Elijah was done obeying. So he walks off. Elisha goes running. He says, hey, let me go bury. Not bury, sorry. Let me go say goodbye to my parents. He said, go ahead. You know, this is between you and God. Don't look at me. God's the one that called you. So he goes back and he gets a knife. Remember, the title of this message is Grab Some Matches. So he grabs a knife and he puts it to those oxen's throat and he slits it. And he kills both of them. Then he takes the yoke, he breaks it, and grabs some matches. And he struck that match and he probably looked at it for a second. He knew exactly what this meant. He was going to burn his equipment and burn the bodies of those two dead ox. He's going to burn them. There wasn't going to be nothing left. No more yoke, no more bulls. Dead, gone, burnt. What was he doing? He was removing all temptations of going back. He'd already made his mind up. In other words, he was doing this. God, I'm yours. I'm leaving. I've heard your call. You spoke through Elijah. I'm to be his successor. I'm going. I'm going to follow you. I've heard your call, and now I'm going to burn the things that would hold me back. I'm going to get rid of them. I'm removing all the temptations of those things that would get me back. You know, when we obey God, it's going to cost us something. Obedience is costly. What's it going to cost Elisha? Well, all his comforts. He probably had servants. He had a comfortable job. His dad probably was very wealthy. And now he's going to be a marked man. You know, Elijah was a marked man by King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. They couldn't stand him. Couldn't stand him. And now Elisha, maybe he lived in anonymity. No one knew him. He lived a very peaceful, quiet life. But now he was going to be a marked man for God. It's going to cost you something. That's what people, they think that, you know, if I accept Jesus into my life, life is just going to be a piece of cake and I'll never have any troubles. No, your troubles are just getting ready to kick in. Satan's going to try to discourage you. And when we follow God, it's going to be hard. It's going to cost. Obedience will cost us something. And you know, Jesus doesn't want us to look back. Jesus, in Luke chapter 9:62, he talked about, man, when you grab a hold of the, you're gonna plow your field. Don't be looking back. Man, I wish I'd done that right there. Dog, man, I should have been doing that. No. When you become a believer, I want you to keep following me. You follow me. Step by step. Follow me. I got you. Follow me. It's going to be costly. And Elisha says, I'm all in. And he grabbed that match to show his obedience to God. Many years ago, as we wrap up today, many years ago, I don't know the year of this. Yep, I do. It's about 1519. Wow. That was a while back. So Christopher Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1492. And people began to realize that this world is not flat, as the old Bugs Bunny commercial cartoon would say back in the days. And they were some good cartoons back in the day, man. Our kids need Bugs Bunny and instead of all this other junk they watch. The world, she's a flat like the pancake, the one guy in the cartoon said. The other guy comes up and says, no, the world, she's a round like the apple. Right, these two Italian guys talking, right? So Christopher Columbus comes and he bumps into America, so to speak. He bumps into the Bahamas, right? Bumps into the Bahamas. And this wasn't India, so he called it the West Indies, right? Anyway, the race began now to come west because the world, she was round. And so one guy in 1519 was named Hernan Cortez. Some of y'all know this story. And Cortez decided he was going to go to what would eventually become known as Mexico, which is where the Aztecs lived. Vicious people at that time. The Aztecs, a very warlike people. And he comes with 11 ships, somewhere around 110 sailors and 550 soldiers. And they come off the ships. He said, all right, off, everybody off, let's go. Come on, cooks, you too, let's go, everybody, let's go, everybody off. They all get off. He turns around and says, all right, get a match. I said, what are we doing? Getting ready to cook some food? He said, no. Give me the match. He took the match and he lit the ships. He said, burn the ships. What you doing? Hey, man, what you, Cortez, hey, man, hey, what you doing? Hey, Cortez, what you doing? What you doing? As the ships went up in flame. What you doing? That's our way out. That's our way home. According to the stories, right? According to, that's what happened. He said, burn the ships. They said, why'd you do that? In other words, either we're going to die, or when we win, we'll just get on board their ships. but we ain't going back home. We got a job to do. So burn the ships, grab the matches, and burn the ships. We got a job to do. Let's go. So they burnt the ships. You know, what are some things that need to be burned in our lives, maybe? What's God calling us to burn? He's called us to serve Him. He's called us to come, number one, to be saved. And then He's called us to serve Him while we wait for His appearing, which may be very soon. But what tools might need to be burned? How about a few, as the time is almost up? What about past sins that we're still holding on to? Secret sins. We need to get rid of them. We need to burn them. How about this one? Past successes that we're still holding on to that are holding us back from moving forward. Well, this worked back in blah, 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 blah year. Yeah, well, it's a new day. Maybe we need to strive. Same Bible, same Jesus, but maybe there's a new strategy while we use the same Bible and the same Savior of reaching people. Well, that ain't the way we did it in 19... Well, it's a new day. How about some bad habits we need to burn? They're holding us back from serving God. How about some regrets? God can't use me because I blew it back in 1962. No, God can still use us. Guilt. We need to burn them. Forget those things that are behind. And press on. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And so what's Jesus saying to you today? I know He's saying, come. Come to me. But you know, He also said a few other things. He said, go. Go into all the world. He says, come to start with. You got to come to Jesus. But then He wants us to go. Go. He wants us to cast. Cast all your cares on Him. Come. Go. Cast your burdens. Trust. When the tough times come, trust me. Jesus is still speaking. He wants to use you, whether you're in the older generation or the new generation. There is no spiritual retirement. You serve Him until the day you die. What's God saying to us? Let's listen to Him, and like Elijah and Elisha, let's burn the ship. Obey what God has done, has called us to do. Let's pray. Lord, we come now as a conclusion before we sing this last song. And Lord, we want to hear You. We want to hear You, God. What are You telling us to do? Lord, help us not to just go off and do our own thing and just kind of make it up. Well, I'm going to just do this. Lord, help us to listen to You and to make sure we're following You. And then, Lord, help us to obey. Lord, it's not always easy. It's costly. Sometimes obedience hurts short term. But, Lord, help us to keep our eyes on You because You endured for us. You died for us. Like the old hymn which talked about, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Lord, may we do that. Lord, give us help now this week, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Trust and Obey is a great hymn for this concluding verse. Stand as we sing, Trust and Obey.